I like the testimony. All right, guys. You guys got notes? All right. Well, I'm going to preach the message I was going to preach 2 weeks ago. I love this. So, Holy Spirit, I just pray that, this is my prayer, that the way you've stirred my heart for decades to be a follower of Jesus and to disciple others and invest in them and help them to follow Jesus. And the way you keep stirring me over and over and over. I read the Bible and yeah, I get stirred, and then I see things happening and it stirs me. I just pray that you would take that same grace and that you would impart it to everyone who's listening right now. That for the rest of their life, their heart would burn with desire to just add one more person, like one more, teach them to follow Jesus and make a disciple who follows Jesus. Lord, I just pray that you would release that grace and mark us and make us fruitful in this all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm 46 right now. I was 17 when I decided to start following Jesus. And I remember I had this encounter with God, and I had got to this point in my life at 17. It was before, the summer before my senior year of high school, and I had got to this point where, you know, I was just like everybody else, to be honest with you. I was just trying to find out what all my friends were doing that everybody thought was cool and do it, and try to do it better than everybody else so I was the most cool. That's pretty much the way life is. If you don't know Jesus, even adults do the same thing. It just looks different, the definition of what cool is. And I remember I was just doing that. And I remember I got to a point where God just made it super clear to me. And he opened my eyes to see the silliness, the emptiness, the vanity of just living like that, doing what everybody else does. And just because you want to be accepted by people and you want to be whatever. And then he contrasted that by showing me how valuable and worthy it would be to live a life of following Jesus instead. Radical. Like, go all the way with it. Don't just go follow Jesus in the parts that are accepted so you can still be cool. Like, try to be cool in his eyes. Like, go all the way following him, even the parts that others will think you're not cool anymore. And just be like, I don't even care, because I'm living for Jesus and he likes this. And if he likes it, I like it. And honestly, it brings me way more joy. And I remember I just got to this point where I'm like, I'm sick of living a wasted life. I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to do it his way. And I was so excited about doing it. And I repented of my sin. You know, I was like, okay, I'm going to stop doing following the world. I'm going to follow Jesus now. And I was so excited about it. And the Holy Spirit, I felt him. He came into me and he gave me a new heart. And I wanted to follow Jesus. I was so excited about it. I'm like, I'm going to live for God. But you know what? I barely knew anything about living for Jesus. I had this new heart and this Holy Spirit living in me now and this desire, like, I want to be close to God every day and I want to feel his presence and feel close to him and I want to please him. But I barely knew anything about doing that. And God blessed me because there was a man named Joe Saragusa. And Joe Saragusa was the youth pastor at the church that I had started attending. And he took me under his wing. This is, at the time, it wasn't that big of a youth group. There were maybe like 30-ish people who were going to that youth group. And I remember he took me under his ring, and he could see that I had a heart that wanted to follow Jesus now. And he took me under his wing, and he began to teach me just the basics of how to live for Jesus, of how to walk with God. He taught me how to pray. I remember they did this. We used to have Sunday night church services and Sunday morning church services. And he would have, like, those who wanted to come from the youth group, we would show up like an hour early to Sunday night services just to pray together. And I'm like, I'm going to do it. And because I wanted to follow Jesus, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to learn how to pray then. You know the best way to learn how to pray? Pray with other people who pray. Really, that's the best way. Or just start talking to God. I mean, that's the best way. But I showed up, and he had this like bulletin board, and he'd put up like certain things that we had to pray for. He'd write them on there. He says, "This is what we're going to pray for right now. Everybody pray." And he would coach us. Like, we're in the room. There's only a handful of us in this little room. And I remember he would actually coach us as we're trying to pray, because I'm like, you know, okay, I'm just learning. I'm pretty new at this thing. And you can't just be quiet in there. He'd actually say, he'd be out loud. He'd be like, "Hey, I don't hear you. I want to hear your voice. Talk to God." And everybody at the same time was all praying to God. He's like, "I want to see you praying." So I'm like, oh, if I'm at a prayer meeting, I better do something. Come on, somebody. And I was like, so I'd be like, okay. So that's maybe when I learned how to pace, but I started pacing. And I'm like, I'm there, and I'm like, okay, my mouth better be moving, and I got to say something to God, or Joe's going to call me out. And I knew it. He really would do that. And he's actually a football coach now. And I remember I was there, and I'm like, "Jesus, I love you. What's that thing we're praying for? Oh, yeah, God, let young people in our school get saved. God," and I had to say something. So think of something. I'd be like, "This person, God, let this person be saved, and this person, and this person." But you know what? I learned how to pray. He taught me how to pray. And he taught me how to read the word, like every day. He was like, "You got to read the word." He's like, "How are you going to know how to obey God? You don't even know what he's telling you to do. You're in life situations all the time, and there's a right way and a wrong way. And how are you going to know what's even right or what's wrong to avoid it if you don't read the Bible and know what the Bible says?" It's like, read the word every day. And so I'm like, I got to read the Bible every day. And Joe helped me because I had the desire. I'm like, I want to walk with God, but I didn't really know how to do it. And he says, "I'm going to teach you how to live in a daily growing relationship with Jesus." And he taught me how to obey. And he taught me not just that, he taught me how to share my faith. He's like, "You got to share your faith. Jesus says, you go preach the good news everywhere to all creation. That includes your friends at your school. That includes your family. That includes the nations." He's like, "You got to tell people about Jesus and lead them to follow Jesus." And I'm like, "I got to tell people about Jesus. You know, how do I do it?" I just started doing it and doing my best and just talking about him and telling people what he did in my life. And I started leading people to the Lord. But you know, it's because of Joe. He taught me the basics, the fundamentals. And there's another thing he taught us. He says, I remember he would pull me aside, not just me, but he actually did this he was an excellent disciple maker. I remember we had this youth group of like 30 people, but he would identify ones of us who are really hungry, and he would pull us aside, and he'd spend extra time with us, and he'd invest in us, and he'd teach us these things, and he'd do it with us. And I remember then he would look at us, and he'd say, "Hey, you need to go find somebody else, and you need to go disciple somebody. You need to go make a disciple." And I'm like, "Okay, yeah, I want to do that. I was excited to do it. I want to be like you, Joe. Because you're the best person I have close to me that's showing me what Jesus looks like and how I'm supposed to walk with God in this world. So you're making disciples, and you tell me I need to go make disciples, so I'm going to do it." And I remember I didn't know that much of the Bible. I was reading it, but you know, I'm just getting started. And I remember I was one day the Lord spoke to me, and he says, "Jeff," he says, and he put five guys in our youth group who are just a couple years younger than I was. Five guys in our youth group. And he says, I want you to start meeting with them every single week and investing in them and discipling them, teaching them how to live for God. And I'm like, I was so excited. I'm like, I'm going to do it. And I called them the Fab Five. And I remember I talked with them like that, like right away. I was like, "Hey, I want to start meeting with you every week, the five of you together." And we would meet, usually on Saturday afternoons, we would meet and together, all six of us, including me. And I remember coming into those meetings, and I'm like, "Oh, man, what am I going to do? Like, I'm supposed to be discipling them. I'm like, how do I do that? I'm like, what are we supposed to do?" I'm like, God help me." And you know what? That was the best thing for me, because it forced me to learn. It forced me to learn. You learn better when you teach it. You really do. The best thing you can do, if you just gave your life to Jesus like last night, you should start teaching people how to follow Jesus today. It's like, well, I don't know anything. What do you know? I don't care what you don't know yet. What do you know that's right? Give it away. Share it with somebody else and tell somebody what you do know. If you're like, Jesus is God and he loves me, died on the cross for my sins, and I gave my life to him, and I'm going to follow him, and I'm going to have eternal life. That's all I know. Pass it on. That's a lot. Give that away. There are billions in the world who would give everything to hear those four or five sentences I just spoke. And I started meeting with these guys, and you know, I was like, well, let's read a scripture and we'll pray together. And then we would go play basketball or play baseball or something like that and just hang out and have fun. And you know what? I was making disciples. And he just put that value in us. You should always be investing in somebody. You should always be investing in somebody. Think about this. Think about the person that first told you about Jesus. There was a time when you heard for the first time. Think who that was. The person who taught you to walk with God. Now, they have a person who told them the first time and taught them to walk with God. And that person has a person, and you can trace the line, it would go all the way back to Jesus himself. You guys with me? Really? So when I meditate on that and I think about that, here's what I think. I'm thankful for the person who passed it on to me, that they didn't keep it to themselves. But then I feel a sense of responsibility. I don't want to be the end of my line. I don't want to be the dead end. Jesus gave his life, his apostles gave their life to pass it on, and they passed it on, and they passed it on, and they passed it on, and they, it goes on and on and on and on, and boom, it comes to Jeff Mann, and I don't want Jeff Mann to be the dead end. I want to give away what I have received. And you know, it takes love to invest time in people because people, the problem with other people is they're like me. They're not perfect. They make mistakes. They have bad days where they do the exact opposite of what they're supposed to do. They're immature. But you just got to keep loving people and you stay with them. And you say, hey, let's meet together. I want to teach you how to pray. Let's pray together. It's the best way to teach somebody how to pray. Let's pray together. I'm going to teach you to read the word every day. And then you answer their questions and you just teach them and you love them. And you don't have to know everything. You just have to give away what you already know. And taking the time to love two things, to love Jesus enough to pass it on so that you're not the dead end. But then to love people enough to invest in them makes all the difference. I'm telling you, this is, my heart is, Joe gave this, the Holy Spirit gave it to me through Joe. I've been gripped with this ever since. I'm like, you know what the cool thing about that youth group? It was like 30 people when I came into it. About a year later or a year or two later when I left to go away to college, there was like, it had doubled as probably around 60 people that were coming. Do you know within a year or two after that, while I was away at college, it was up, they had like 150 students who were coming every single week to worship Jesus. And you know, what was great about that youth group, the reason it was effective, it wasn't just because they had great music. Honestly, it wasn't that great. I was on that worship team when I lived there. It got better after I left. But, you know, it wasn't that great, like, musically. But you know what it was great? It was raw singing to God from the heart out of real worship. And we sang cheesy songs that weren't even vibing with the youth culture at the time. But do you know what? Guess what? I could care less about that. I just gave up trying to be cool so I could really know God. I'm like, I don't care stylistically what the music sounds like. Help me sing to God and connect with him and worship him like I was made for. And then when I do, he responds by affirming me as his son. And I feel his presence, and I hear his voice, and he speaks to me. That's what I want, and that's what we were good at. But you know what was great about that youth group? Is they had intentionally developed a discipling culture. It's like, it wasn't just me. He called it youth staff. He would identify us. He pulled us together. He's like, you're leaders. I'm like, yeah, we're leaders. I'm like 18. Been serving Jesus a year. He's like, you're a leader. Several of us. He's like, you're youth staff. You should be discipling somebody. And he would teach us. And then he would actually coach us and speak into our lives. I remember one time I was doing something dumb. And that was just like foolish. It was like, you know, folly is bound in the heart of a child. That's what Proverbs says. And how many of you know we do dumb things and we learn wisdom sometimes the hard way? And I don't remember what it was, but I was like, well, actually, now I do remember what it was, but I'm not going to tell you because it's embarrassing. But I was doing something that didn't look very good. And he heard about it because somebody had seen me and came and talked to him. And then he pulled me aside and talked to me. He's like, hey, when you were doing this person said, you know what it looked like to them? And he told me. He said, it looked like you're not really obeying God. That's what it looks like when they saw you do that. And I was like, no, it's cool, man. It was like nothing that bad. He's like, well, it's not what it looked like. And then he'd look at me and he taught me. He's like, you're a leader, Jeff. He says, you got to be thinking about what you do and what you say, how others are perceiving it. And even if you're like, oh, no, it's fine. I know it's not that bad. But if it's, you got to think like a leader. There are people who are looking up to you and they're following you and you're influencing them. You've got to learn to become mature in your thinking. Don't just think about yourself. You got to think about what you're doing and how you're, what you're saying and how it's affecting the people that are watching you. And he taught me to be a man. He taught me to be a leader. All these leadership lessons, he was just discipling me. And he did that for a bunch of us. Do you know how many of us that were in that youth group at that time are in ministry today, are pastoring churches? It's like a bunch of us that were pastoring churches now. And we're doing different things. Why? Because one man says, you're valuable, and I'm going to invest time in you. And I see a desire to serve the Lord. I'm going to teach you how to do it. I'm going to teach you the nitty-gritty, everyday, practical things you do to walk with God and to grow and bear fruit that remains. I'm so grateful. This, what I'm talking to you about right now, is Jesus' strategy to reach the whole world. It's like, what? That doesn't sound that glamorous or awesome. It sounds so simple. It sounds so like, just find a person and invest in them, and then help them to find another one and invest in them, who finds another one and invest in them. It's like, I can do that. It's just a matter of choosing to love somebody enough to do it. And it's like, how is that going to reach the whole world? Jesus said it. He said to his, he took 12. There was a crowd of thousands, and he chose 12, and he invested deeply in 12 men that he saw the call of God on their life. He invested deeply in them. And then right before he left, this is what he told those 12 men. He says, go and make disciples of all nations. Go make disciples. The way I've loved you, go love others. The way I have taught you, go teach others. In fact, that's what he says. He says, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then teach them to obey. Everybody say obey. He said, teach them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. It's like, this is my strategy for reaching the world. I chose 12. Do you know God could have done it a different way? I mean, you know, like, God has a lot of power. I mean, God right now, if he wanted to, right now, all 8 billion, however many people are on the planet right now, On the other side of the world, some of them are sleeping, some are awake, some are working, some are doing various things. You know what? God has the power to, it'd be easy for him to do this. He could right now take every single person at the same moment at 11:29 a.m. right now. He could take all of us on a field trip to hell. Leave us there for about 30 seconds. And then he could take all 8 billion, pull us right out, and then he could take us to heaven for about 30 seconds and show us Jesus. And then he could pull us right back into where we're at right now. And he says, make a choice. He could do that. I wish he would. For real. I think that would be quite effective. But you know what he did? He chose 12 people and he invested in them. And then he told them, go invest in others. Eventually, one of those lines from Jesus got to the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul found a young man named Timothy and began investing in him. And then Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, and the things you have heard from me, heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, he says, Timothy, entrust it to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. It's like, this is how the kingdom goes forward. He's like, Timothy, I invested in you. Find hungry people who will put this into practice, invest it and teach them in a way that they'll be able to invest in other hungry people and teach them. And the line will keep on going from generation to generation. You guys with me? It's so simple that all of us can do it. Making disciples is so simple, yet it's so powerful and profound in its long-term impact. This is how we win the world. Jesus' strategy to reach the masses was to invest deeply in 12. And then told them, go invest in others. And what happens is it multiplies. So this here's an illustration I like to use. You guys with me? If I told you right now, you have a choice, two choices. I'm going to give you, I'll give you $3 million right now on the spot today. $3 million check. Or I'll give you $1 a day for 60 days. I'll give you $1 a day and each day I'll double it for 60 days. What would you choose? Yeah, because you guys know. You guys know. But this is the power of multiplication. Because you get $1 today, it's like $1, $3 million. Doesn't seem like it's very good. But tomorrow, it's two more. So now it's $3. Then day three, you get $6. Day four, $12. Well, just track with me. The way I'm saying it is what I mean. I'm right. I have the mic. I'm the preacher. Everybody else is wrong. I'm just teasing. But you guys get the point, right? You guys get the point. It's called compound, the multiplication factor. That's how it is when you make disciples. That's what happens when it's like you lead one person to Jesus and invest in them. They lead one person to Jesus and invest in them. Who leads one person to Jesus and invest in them? And it keeps on going. And what ends up happening is in not very long, they are deep followers of Jesus. Not just shallow converts, but deep, devoted disciples of Jesus who are obeying his commands, listening to his words, and sharing with others and teaching them to do the same. So here's the question. Well, I think this is on your sheet. Let me give you this blank. Regardless of how long you've been following Jesus, you should make it your goal to always be regularly investing. Is that on your sheet? Okay. Investing in at least one person in an intentional way, passing on what you know about following Jesus. That's my goal for, seriously, I've lived this way for a long, like decades. And some, you know, actually, Yeah, pretty much for decades. I've been pretty consistent. I probably had seasons or moments in there when I wasn't actively investing somebody. Maybe I have, I don't know. But not very much, because Joe taught me. You make disciples. You've received a gift. Don't hoard it. Give it away. And the blessing is when you share it with others, your joy increases, actually. So the question is, like, you might be wondering, is like, well, how do I disciple somebody? Okay, I'm going to give you the really simple answer. Okay, how do I disciple somebody? And this, you're going to have to just write this down. This isn't on your notes. Teach them to listen to God's word. You can write this down. Teach them to listen to God's word regularly and obey him. Teach them to listen to God's word, number one, and then teach them to obey him. That's how simple it is to follow Jesus. Listen to God's word regularly. Teach them to listen to his word regularly, daily, and then obey him and obey what he says. It's that simple. That's how you disciple somebody. I want to show you I could give you a lot of teach them this and this and this and this and this, and I could give you a lot of lists, but if you just boil it all and sum it all up, it's actually really simple how to make a disciple. Teach them to hear God's voice regularly. Teach them to listen. Be a listener. Tune in. Give him your attention. Listen to what he's saying. Listen to his word. And then obey it. Don't just be a hearer. Be a doer of the word. Follow Jesus. Simple. It's like, yeah, but does that really work? I mean, shouldn't I teach him more stuff and more this and more that? Let me just, you could teach him tons of stuff, but if they don't get that, the main things, they learn how to listen to God's voice daily and then obey. If they don't get that, it's not going to do them much good. But listen to the simple power of hearing his word and then obeying it. Listen to these scriptures. John 14, this is Jesus speaking. How many of you know he knows what he's talking about? He's the one who set the template, right? That we're all modeling after. This is what he says. This is the power. This is a promise. He says, those who accept my commandments. Actually, can we get the slide up? I'm going to show you these scriptures on a slide because I actually want you to see these scriptures. These are like, just take him at his word. This is so clear what he says. You can just, it's on Google Chrome, minimized on the main screen. There it is, yeah. There you go. Now just like, oh, maximize it. Yeah, perfect. And I'm going to read this one first. First slide. Jesus said, oops, no, I'm going to do this first. Jesus said, he says, if you love me, what? Boom. Do you really love me? He says, then obey my commandments. That's how I measure. That's how I see. He says, if you love me, obey my commandments. Now listen to this. That's our job. Obey his commandments, right? Listen to what he says he'll do. All we have to do, obey his commandments. Then he says this. Ah. What happened? There we go. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, which is the Holy Spirit, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit, who leads you into all truth. Isn't that powerful? Just think about that. It's that simple. It's like, how do I receive the Holy Spirit? Find out what Jesus says and obey his commandments. He says, oh, that person loves me. Father, give him the Holy Spirit. That's how easy it is to receive the Holy Spirit. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you, and then he'll teach you the rest of what you need to know. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him. Oh my goodness, what about that word? Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek him. It's your responsibility to seek the Lord. He will stir up in you the desire and your awareness of your need for him. But it's your responsibility to seek the Lord. You seek him, you will find him. That's what he says. That's the word of God. It says the world isn't looking for him. That's a problem. And doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. He's talking to his disciples. This is before he was crucified and raised from the dead. They hadn't received the Holy Spirit yet. He says, right now, he's with you. You're hanging with me, and he's with you. But eventually, I'm going to rise from the dead, and Acts 2 will happen on the day of Pentecost, and he will be in you. And but isn't that simple? Do you see why now, why the most important thing when I'm like making a disciple of Jesus, the most important thing I need to do is I need to get you listening to God's word and then obeying his commandments. Next scripture. And this is the same context. He just says some other things, and then he says it again. Listen to this. This is the simple power of hearing his word and obeying it. Jesus says, those who accept my commandments and what? There you go. And obey them are the ones who love me. Isn't that powerful? You know what? I've been doing this for decades now. That's so true. He's right. I don't even know how many, probably, I have no idea how many people I've invested into disciple. But I can tell you that there's a small percentage of them that actually love Jesus enough to put it into practice. I would estimate, I don't know, hundreds that I've invested in an intentional way. And many of them, they start out, yeah, I want to follow Jesus. And then we get together. I'm like, okay, you got to find out what he says. Let's read the word. Read the word. Week after week after week after week goes by. And I'm meeting with them. They're like, oh, no, I didn't read the Bible this week. And after a while, I just say, okay, well, I mean, let me know. let me know when you want to really do this thing. And we'll keep meeting because I've given you this one thing for like 5-6 weeks and it's not enough of a priority to you to read the word. I mean, I can't do, if you don't want to hear from God, I can't, what do you think I'm going to do for you? My job is I'm telling you how to go drink from the fountain, but you got to go drink. I can't drink for you, but I'll tell you the directions. I'll show you the path to get there. But you got to do it. You guys with me? And you can weed out. There's a lot of people that initially act excited about Jesus, but how you really know the ones who love him are the ones who follow through. Doesn't mean they don't make mistakes. I have had tons of days where I'm like, my youth pastor would be like, you got to read the word. I'm like, I got to read the word. And then I'd go like 3 or 4 days and didn't read it. I'm like, but I had set my heart to do it. And I wanted to do it. And then I was like, God, forgive me. I got to refocus. And I get back on track and get into it. And anyway, I'm not going to go off on that subject. I love the Bible. Like, I really love the Bible. But I'm just saying, it's like you work with people in their weakness as they're stumbling, but they're sincere and they are putting it into practice, but they're just learning to get consistent. You stay with them, you work with them, you teach them grace, you teach them how to pick themselves up after a fall and keep moving forward, how to repent and moving forward with God and growing. But if day after day, week after week after week after week after week goes by and they're not putting anything into practice, it's like, Jesus knew. This is how you tell. And I've invested in hundreds of people. And I'm telling you, he's right. He says, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And listen to this. Because they love me, my Father will love them. Isn't that powerful? How do you know that they love him, that they're the ones who love him? How did he say? They accept and obey his commandments. Then he says, and my Father will love them. Because he'll see they love me. All you got to do is say, you know what? I'm going to find out what God says, and I'm going to obey. Then Jesus says, and then I will give you the Holy Spirit, and my Father will love you. And then it says, and I will love them. Jesus, my Father will love you, and I will love you. And then he says this, and I will reveal myself to each of them. Here's the thing. We can, none of us by our own effort alone can know who God is. God hides himself. Those blinders are on our eyes. You're not going to see him. You're going to get it all wrong. But in grace, he comes and he removes the blinders and he reveals himself to you as he truly is. He reveals truth to you. So you're not in deception and making mistakes and shooting yourself in the foot over and over and over again thinking you're cool because everybody else is doing it with you. He's like, let me show you truth. Let me show you the way. Let me show you who I am. Let me show you my heart. Let me reveal my Father to you. Let me reveal my love to you. So God, how do I get you to do that? He's like, all you got to do, what? Read my word, listen to my words, and just say, I'm going to obey this. But I don't feel anything. So what? You will just do what he says. Get into the word, read it, but I don't understand most of it. Just keep reading and obey what you know. And just say, I want to know you. I want to follow you. Then he looks at you and he says, they really love me. Father, give them the Holy Spirit. Now you're going to start feeling him. And he says, we're going to come and we're going to reveal myself to each one of them. That's so powerful. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the other disciple with that name, said to him, Lord, are you going to reveal yourself only to us, like the 12? Or and not to the world at large? It's an interesting question. He's like, is this like promise? Like, is this just for the 12 of us because we're like special? Or is this for everybody? Jesus answers this question and classic Jesus way. Jesus replied, all, everybody say all. All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, will come and make our home with each of them. He's like, this is a universal promise for all nations, all peoples, everywhere, in every generation. He says, you find out what he says and do it. It shows that you love him. And then the Father and Jesus, the Holy Spirit, they will come and make their home with you. Is that simple? So when you're making a disciple of Jesus, the most important thing you got to do, teach him to listen to God's word regularly and then obey. And he'll do the rest. You can't change their heart. You can't change them. You can't make them know that God loves them. But you can, you could just get in the word, start reading it regularly, and then obey what he says, and he will send you the Holy Spirit. He will reveal himself to you, and he will come to live with you and make his home with you. That's awesome. And it's all just teach him to know his word and obey it. Is that simple? Matthew 7:24. This is Jesus talking again. Listen, the simple power of hearing and obey. Therefore, everyone who what? Hears. Everybody do this. Everybody who hears these words of mine. Listen, not everybody who hears Pastor Jeff's sermons. Not everybody who hears your favorite YouTube preacher's sermons. And I listen to preachers all the time. Mike Bickle's my favorite. I love listening to Mike Bickle. There's a lot of preachers I've listened to, and I enjoy and I get good things by listening to them, but that's not what Jesus said. Because there are people who just like, they listen to preachers, but they don't actually open their Bible and go to the raw word of God. And Jesus is like, no, you got to hear my words. My preaching is only good if I'm saying what he said. Everything else isn't worth much. Everyone who hears these words of mine and what? Puts them into practice is a wise man. Let me tell you something. When the one who you're going to stand before and give an account for every choice you made in your whole life, the judge, gives you the answer on the test before the day of judgment. And he says, guys, just so you know, at the day of judgment, when you're standing before me, and you want me to look at you on that day and evaluate your life choices and say, you are wise. Isn't that what we want to hear? We don't want to hear, you fool. That's going to happen. But so is you are wise. Like, there are going to be people who hear that. Well, how do I make sure that on my test day, I get the big smile from Jesus the judge saying, you are wise. You did it. Come on. How do I get that, Jesus? He's like, I'm telling you now because I want you to succeed. Be a man or woman who listens to his words first and then puts them into practice. You do that, he says, I'll call you wise. I mean, come on, isn't it simple? Yes, Jeff, it's really simple. You're such a good teacher. This is the simplest, clearest teaching I've ever heard in my life. This is, you here. Like, it's so easy to follow Jesus. First thing I need to do, I need to hear his words every day. So what am I going to do? Read the Bible. Number one, honestly, listen to the Bible. YouVersion. You get Bible apps on your phone that you can listen to somebody read it to you. You know, if you're driving a lot or whatever it is. I mean, it's so easy to get the word of God into your brain. Now, it's so easy. It was hard back then. We all can get a copy. You can get your own Bible easy. There are Bibles abounding. I'm talking about in the United States of America. But, you know, back then, it was like only at the synagogue, maybe they had a copy of scrolls from certain sections of books of the Bible, but most of them didn't have all the whole Bible all compiled together. And they could only hear it when they'd go to the synagogue every week on Sabbath and hear them read a section of the scriptures. It's so easy for us now. So hear his word and then put it into practice. You'll be a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall. Why? Because it had its foundation on the rock. Isn't that who you... That's the kind of disciple I want to be and build. You know, I'm discipling somebody. I want to be like, do it like Jesus. Jesus was honest with his disciples. He didn't promise them, everything's going to be better in your whole life, and there'll never be any problems ever again if you just follow me. He says, you know, yeah, someday in the age to come, but in this world, you will face trials of many kinds, but take heart, I've overcome the world. That's what he told them. It's like, man, I'm going to face storms are coming, trials and things that will try to shake you. But if you're a man or woman who's regularly listening to Jesus' words and putting them into practice, you will be solid. And the storms will come and you'll be standing strong. And what they'll do, the adversity will actually cause you. How many of you know when adversity comes? When adversity comes, it forces you. I think of this, you know, like I think of a person crossing like a river. If the current is just a slow moving current and it's not that hard, you're just kind of going like this, just walking across the river. It's not that hard. But when it gets to really rapids and it's a strong current and it's going to sweep you away, you know what you do? You fortify that foundation. I mean, now you're like getting your foundation set and strong, and you're staying strong. You guys with me? And adversity, what it does is it forces us to bear down in the word of God. And what does the word say? I'm going to do it. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to do it. Airline pilots, they train an airline pilot, and it's like, yeah, they learn how to the instruments and all this kind of stuff. And if it's a clear, sunny day, they can just go by sight, you know, flying. And everything's easy. But what happens when a storm comes? And there's lightning and dark clouds, or they're flying at night, and they can't see. They have to know and rely 100% on their instruments. What is this telling me to do? And I'm going to do it. I'm going to find out what that says to do, and I'm going to do it exactly. And I can't see. I'm just going to trust that it's right. And that's how it is when we obey the word of God. The storms come, and it forces, what does the word say to do? I can't trust my emotions. I can't trust necessarily all the advice coming from people around me. What does the word say? What does Jesus say? What did he do in situations like this? And I'm going to bear down, and I'm going to do it, and it actually makes us stronger. Jesus says, you live like that, simple life, and you'll stand before me at the end, and I'll call you wise. And you'll still be standing at the end. And he says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice. There's tons of people like this in churches all over, everywhere. There's people who come and say, I love Jesus, and they hear his words, but they don't put them into practice. Instead, they follow the practices of the culture around them. Jesus says, doesn't matter if you hear it. If you don't put it into practice, it doesn't do you any good. You with me? He says, you got to hear it, and then you got to do it. But you can't do what you don't know, so you got to hear, and you got to do. Amen? And then he says this, and if you do that, the storms of life will come. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Why? Because they didn't put his words into practice. It's like, so when you're discipling people, it's that simple. You teach them to listen to God's word regularly and do it and obey it. Amen? All right, so I'm wrapping up, guys. I just want to make this statement. Loving somebody enough to intentionally invest in them, you're going to feel nervous. You know what that does? It exposes insecurities and fears and pride and selfishness in us. Well, what if they reject me? What if they say no? What if I go and say, hey, you want to get together? Let's just meet up and let's just read the Bible together. Yeah, but what if they say no? And then I'll feel like, oh, they don't like me and da da da. I'm like, that's your own insecurity. You got to use that as an opportunity to say, thank you for showing me my insecurity. My confidence doesn't come from how many people think I'm cool and like me and want to hang out with me. My confidence comes because he likes me. He loves me. Therefore, I can love people even if they don't think I'm cool. And if they reject me, that's okay. Doesn't affect my confidence because he loves me. You guys with me? And so it's just an opportunity for you to grow. I'm telling you, so many people, they get stunted in their growth because they won't invest in others. And the same insecurities and the same fears are like, oh, what if they get mad at me? What if I say it wrong? You know, what if I don't know what to say? Oh, you're never going to learn unless you do it. And I'm going to tell you, there'll be plenty of times you'll be in a situation and you won't know what to say. That's good for you because it forces you to rely on the Holy Spirit and just say, Holy Spirit, you can just tell the person, gosh, I've had that. Like even recently, there's times like somebody will say something to me and I'll be like, I'm trying to think of something to say that would help you, but I can't think of anything. But I love you, and I'm going to be praying for you, literally. I don't just say I'm going to pray. I pray. And then I pray for them. And then sometimes in doing that, he gives me things to say. He'll bring a scripture to mind to share with them, etc. But you don't have to be the answer man. He's got the words. You just point them. Just go hear what he says. Go get the Bible and open it and read it regularly and then do what he says. He's right. And just be a friend and love somebody. But taking the time to intentionally do that, it can often be the difference between that person falling away from Jesus or becoming stable in their faith and living a life that bears fruit. I'm serious. I believe this with all my heart. I see this. I can see people. I'm like, they've had a born-again experience. I can tell that they want to grow. I'm like, somebody's got to invest in this person. Somebody has to start meeting with them and take them under their wing and teach them what Joe taught me. Somebody's got to help them because, and I can tell, I'm like, they're floundering. They have a genuine faith, but they don't really know how to walk with God yet. So they're making mistakes and they're just shooting themselves in the foot, but trying to get themselves back up. But I do love you, Lord. I'm like, gosh, they just need somebody to come along and say, hey, I got you. Here's how to read the Bible. Let's read it together. You know what I mean? Here's what this says. Here's how to apply it in your life. Let's do it. And you do it with them, and then they can learn to walk in the light, and they can see clearly, and they become stronger and stronger, and then they can run. But there are many people who genuinely had a born-again experience, and no one took them under their wing, and they're trying to figure it out by themselves, and they're back out in the world, and they're back out in sin today because they got so discouraged. They said, I can't do it. I don't know how to, I'm just keep failing and failing. And they didn't have the brother or sister in Christ or the spiritual father or mother that could put their arm around them and say, you know what? Of course you're failing. Everybody fails. Everybody messes up. Here's how to recover after you've sinned. 1 John 1:9, you come to the Lord, you confess it, you repent, you receive forgiveness by faith. He loves you just as much as he's ever loved you. You're clean. Now get back up and let's keep walking. And somebody's got to teach them that. And there's so many people that have fallen away. They get into deception because they didn't have a brother, a sister, a father, a mother in the faith who was there with them to show them the way. And so my encouragement to you is, I remember, I'll end with this. Joe Saragusa. I've been serving the Lord for almost a year. I was on a baseball team at my high school, and we were really good. And I remember we were the two-time defending state champions, and it was my senior year, and we were in the state semifinals of the playoffs, and we were playing our arch rivals in the state semifinals, like our hated rivals. Maybe I shouldn't say hate, but it was definitely a rivalry. I love them. I bless them. I don't hate them. But it was a rivalry. And we really, if we're going to lose to anybody in the state, I would rather it not be them. I'd rather lose to anybody else in the state, but not this team. And we're playing them in the semifinals on our home field, and there's about 5,000 people there, a crowd of about 5,000 people watching the game. And somewhere in the series, there was a play at the plate, and there was a collision, and tempers flared and the benches cleared and both teams are all gathering together around home plate like to fight, literally. My team is out in the field, so I'm out at my position at shortstop, and this happens, and I had been witnessing to my teammates all year long, telling them about Jesus. I'm living for Jesus. I'd been taking a stand, living for God, trying to lead them to Christ and be an example for them. But I got so caught up in the heat of the competition that I just totally lost my temper. And I came flying in from shortstop, and I'm standing there with all the crowd, and I'm screaming obscenities. Like, all my old language came back to me in a moment. Like, because I was like, okay, God had told me, the very first thing he told me, just about a year earlier, I got saved, and I'm like, what do you want me to do? I want to live for God. Out of all things, he said, I want you to stop cussing. I was like, okay. And he helped me stop cussing, totally took it from me. It was a miraculous story. I'm like, praise God, I don't cuss anymore. And all of a sudden, I came back, like in a moment. And I'm publicly in front of 5,000 people and all of my teammates. I am yelling at the coach on the other team. And I'm cussing him out. I'm just saying all this stuff. And in the middle of doing it, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just says, Jeff, wake up. and I realized what I was doing. And I was like, oh, and I felt so convicted. And everybody else is still doing it. But I just turned around and I walked away from the crowd. And I walked out into the outfield by myself. And it's all still going on. The umpires trying to break it up. Coaches are trying to break it up. And I'm just out in the field. And I just get down on my knees. I'm like, God. And the enemy is just pummeling me with failure. He's like, you just destroyed your witness for Jesus in one stupid moment. You're one of the worst witnesses for Jesus that's ever existed. It takes you a whole year to trying to build it up to this point, and you blow it in a moment. You've destroyed it. You're so fake. You're not, just, you know how it goes, right? All that is bombarding me, the condemnation, the shame, the failure. And I'm just like, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. But I don't feel forgiven. And then to make it even worse, the game continued and we lost bad. They killed us, man. They destroyed us. And that was the end of my baseball career. I'm hoping it continues and pick it up again in heaven on the new earth in my resurrected body. And I'm hoping just at least one more season, and I can end my career on a walk-off homer and then retire and do other things for eternity. But I don't know. But as it stands now, that was the pathetic end of my baseball career. But I remember, like, that was a Friday night, Saturday, all day. Shame, condemnation, the devil's just, you're a loser, you've blown it, you're, you know, all this kind of stuff. Then I go to church the next morning, Sunday morning. I don't even remember what he preached, but I was like, oh, I'm just a loser. I'm just a loser. Forgive me. I just keep saying, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Of course, he already had, but I didn't have faith to believe it because I just felt the shame. And then I remember that night, I came back to church service again Sunday night, and I'm there. I don't even remember what the altar call was for. It didn't matter because either way, I knew I needed forgiveness. I'm up there, and I'm just like wallowing in my self-pity and my shame and my condemnation and my loserness. I've blown it. I'm the worst person. I'm so not sincere. I'm a terrible witness for Jesus. And Joe Saragusa, he knew what happened. I mean, everybody, you know, it's a big deal. He just comes up to me, and he knew I was wallowing. And he just puts his arm around me. And he said, and this is what he told me. This is what you need in your life. He says, what's done is done. There's nothing you can do to go back and change that. He says, you got to pick yourself up, you receive forgiveness, and you keep moving forward. And he told me there's a call of God on your life. And he said, I've talked to Pastor, and we're inviting you. We want you to come and do an internship at the church. We want to train you because we believe in you and we see the call of God on your life. You're a good witness. And that did it for me. I was like, okay, they believe in me. He must believe in me. And here I am today. It's that easy to invest. That's all it is. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a youth pastor. You just have to invest in someone. It doesn't have to be pretty. It's not going to be pretty and perfect all the time. It's raw, man. You meet with people, and some weeks I'll meet with people, and it's like, wow, that was awesome. The Holy Spirit, we just had this awesome time together. And then other times we meet, and it was just kind of like they were kind of tired and not concentrating, and I was tired and distracted, and just both of us are trying to do our best, and it didn't seem that glamorous and that great. But we're faithful. We did it. We showed up. We did the work. And then it just, that's the way it is, isn't it, in life in this age? But love doesn't look like I love you when I feel the glory. I love you when I don't feel the glory. I love you when I do feel the glory. And in the process of loving you, we learn how to walk with Jesus together. And people need somebody to pick them up when they feel the shame or to correct them, like Joe corrected me. He's like, hey, you think it's okay what you just did, but this is what they think when they see you doing that. And you're a leader. You got to think about that. You're gonna influence them the wrong way. I'm like, gosh, I didn't. Okay, you're right. You need that. You guys with me? We need somebody who loves us enough to get into our life, to know us, and to teach us to hear his words and obey his commandments. And Joe, he lives in Florida right now. He's a football coach. I saw him 2 years ago. Autumn and I were in Florida. We happened to be in his city, and we called him up. We got together. But I hardly ever talk to him anymore. Facebook friends, every once in a while we'll send each other a message. But you know what? For those years, I'm still walking with Jesus today, doing the things the way he taught me. And I don't even know how many people that are walking with Jesus because I passed on the things that he taught me. And they're doing it, and they're passing it on. He has no idea, probably, the depth of the impact. Don't you want to be like that? At the end of your life, when you look back, don't you want to see a trail of disciples a trail of people. It's just you loved on. And you were just steady in it. When it was up and down and up and down, and though 90% of them just didn't care, and but even those 90%, you gave them something, and sometimes it has an impact later. This whole message, I want to encourage you. Say, I'm not going to be the dead end. I'm going to make it a goal in every season of my life. I'm going to have at least one person that I'm investing in intentionally, and teaching them to listen to His word and to obey it. Amen. Why don't you guys stand with me? And you may be, I want to encourage you with this. Because, I don't know, it's like earlier this year, I got to the point where I was discipling some people. But then I got, my schedule kind of goes like this with how full it is. And I was discipling a bunch of people. But then all of a sudden, for different reasons, some moved away and different, I just wasn't meeting with them on a weekly basis anymore because it wasn't necessary. And all of a sudden, I had free space in my schedule. And I'm like, God, I want to disciple more people. Give me, I don't want, fill up the spaces with people to invest in. Give me new people to invest in. I prayed that prayer. Do you know within like a week, like just a couple weeks, I had like 25 people a week that I was meeting with, discipling them. Some of them were like groups of eight at a time. And but I'm just discipling them, investing the same things in them. And all of a sudden I was like, wow, my schedule's like, it was getting really full. Like a little too full, to be honest with you. And I'm like, I got to just stay focused with these 25 or whatever it is for a little while. And but then I remembered my prayer just a few weeks before. I'm like, wow, God, You answered my prayer. And so you may be like, I want to disciple somebody. That's how I was. But I don't know who to disciple. I don't even know who'd meet with me. Two things. One, pray. Like until you have somebody. God, give me somebody to invest in who I'd be a blessing to. And then God's going to bring people to your mind. Second thing, you got to take the initiative and go ask them. Don't wait for them to come to you. Very rarely. A few times I've had people come to me, but especially not at first. This never happened. Maybe now because there are people who are hungry for discipleship and they hear that I do this and they're like, hey, would you disciple me? That's awesome. But at first, I have to go find them. And even now, that's most of the way how it works. So you go up to them and say, listen, I just had in my heart, I love to just get together and just read the Bible and pray together. Would you like to do that? Even if they're not a believer. Because if they're willing to do that, you read the word, they start putting into practice, He's going to give them the Spirit and He's going to come make their home with them and He's going to change their life. So Father, we just ask You right now, you just do it in your own words. Who can I invest in? Just going to listen to the Holy Spirit for a minute. Just ask Him, who can I invest in, God? He's going to bring a person to your mind. Maybe several people to your mind. Maybe it'd be the Fab Five like He spoke to me at first. Maybe it'd be just one. Lord, I ask You for each one of us that You would give us somebody to disciple. Give us one person at least that we can invest in and teach them to listen to Your word daily and obey it. And give us the grace to love them the way You love them and to pass on what You've given to us. I bless every person in this room, every one of Your people in this room. I bless them that none of them would be a dead end, that all of them would have multiple generations that they've invested in, who's invested others, who's invested in others. God, that You would bless us with that fruitfulness. This is a big rock priority in my life. I'm never going to be too busy to invest in somebody. If so, I'll drop something else so that I have time to invest in at least one, because I want to be a disciple maker all the days of my life. I want to get to the end and I want to have a trail behind me of people who love Jesus and are obeying His commandments. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. So here's what I encourage you to do. Go this week, and the person God brought to your mind, go ask them. Let's get together. Let's read the word and pray together. And it's so many ways you can do that. I've done that over Zoom calls. I do that. I have a guy that lives, a friend of mine that lives in another state that I'm doing this with him, discipling him. And we just do it on a phone call every week. We have a scheduled time, same day, same time every week. And we get together for about an hour, hour and a half over the phone. And we read a passage of scripture, we read a chapter, and we just do discipleship, man. So there's so many ways to do it. So I encourage you just to do that and follow through on it. And don't give up. Don't lose heart if it's like, they said no. Well, just pray again. Give me another one, Lord. Until somebody says yes. And then do that. And then you meet three times and they don't want to meet anymore. Then pray again. Who's next, Lord? And the Lord determines that. Sometimes you meet one time, sometimes four times, sometimes it'll go on for years. But that's just seek the Lord and invest in somebody. That's what matters. Amen? All right. Love you guys. Have a good day.